can you imagine a 10 megabytes hard disk, and it was almost empty because it was a huge space at that time.
That is Nikos Mitrakis, Salesforce developer and architect at Augmentix. I'm Julian Duque, your host for the Salesforce Developer Podcast, and here in the podcast we share stories and insights from developers for developers. Today, we are going to talk with Nikos about Forcia Data Factory, an open source framework he created. But before, we will start just as we left off, and we often do, with his early years.
Yeah, I go back to 80s when I had a computer lab. In the first year of the university, I was studying physics, and we had the lab with PC-IT. It was the second version of IBM PC with 10 megabytes hard disk. Can you imagine a 10 megabytes hard disk? And it was almost empty because it was a huge space at that time. And we also had Mac, the first Mac, 128 kilobytes with a floppy disk. And Mac Draw and Mac Write. It was something totally innovative at that time because, a mouse and a user interface like this was totally different from the PC we was using for development. And we had some exercises with the Pascal computer language. It was a very good language to start programming. And I think at the end of the year, I bought the Amstrad PC, a home PC, with 84 kilobytes of RAM. 84 kilobytes. Kilobytes. Now I have 32 gigabytes in my laptop.
It sounds so incredible, the amount of computing power we had back in the days compared to what we have today.
Yeah, that's true.
You started directly with Pascal, like doing computer programming, or you were doing different operations with the computer before getting into programming?
I first started working with a computer the first year of the university. And I was working with Pascal, as I said previously, for the computer lab exercises. But also I started doing different things with my Amstrad home computer using the BASIC computer language. Every home computer had a different version of BASIC, but we could do a lot of things with it. I didn't like to play computer games. Okay, I was playing some games, obviously, but it wasn't the main focus. The main focus was to write some programs, to start exploring the possibilities and what a computer could offer. And it was a really amazing experience because I have to say that I was very surprised by the capabilities and what a computer could give.
Nice. You mentioned that you were using that lab for physics. It's okay? You were studying physics back in the day?
Yes, I was studying physics, but also In the same university department was a computer science department. So I started taking different subjects from this department. So I started with, simple, let's say, introductory subjects, and then I proceeded to more advanced. And it was, something in parallel with my physics studies.
Nice. Okay, that's great. And from your college days, starting with your physics and Pascal, how was that transition to start working professionally with programming?
Yeah, it's it's a very interesting journey because after the university, actually, I didn't start a professional career as a developer. For different reasons, sometimes we like something, we have some passion, but for different reasons in the life, we take a different way. So practically what I did after my university years, I started with a computer shop. I was selling computers, I was repairing computers and providing service, and also providing, training for kids and young adults. And It was 90s at that time. And after that, after about 8 years, practically I started another journey, and I moved to sales. I was a sales director in a computer shop, and then I was an account manager. Selling and doing pre-sales regarding computer software, business intelligence systems, and things like this. And practically, I was always wanted to do something different. I was always wanted to start a professional career as a developer, but it was a different journey in my life, a different direction. So in the first years of 2010, especially in 2014, I was working in a company in Greece as an account manager doing sales and pre-sales. And practically, this company started as Salesforce partner in Greece.
Oh, okay.
And it was the first time I actually started working with Salesforce. Obviously, it was, something that I would say a love with the first sight. I was really astonished by the capabilities of working with Salesforce. I started working during nights, during weekends, during holidays. I started, obviously, with the administrative things to understand the system, and then started working with Apex and Visual Force at that time. And I practically created a managed package. I called it GR Pack, and it was a vertical package with solutions for the Greek language. Regarding the grammar cases of the Greek language, which are complicated. So it was, for example, from your name, it will find the scent that is related to your name, because in Greece we celebrate the scent, practically not the birthdays. And, for example, it knows from my name that I celebrate on the 6th of December. So a salesperson or a service representative would tell me, the wishes that we usually do in Greece. It was a quite complex package, managed package at the time, and it practically introduced me to the apex and the complexities of the language and the capabilities. And pretty much that was the start of my Salesforce journey.
Wow. And this was a passion project of yours, or you did it in part of your job?
Oh, no, it was a totally personal project. I was working out of hours work, during nights, as I told you, during weekends. It was personal. And also, in parallel, I was studying for some administrator certification. So in the next 3 years, I took the administrator, the advanced administrator, and the sales cloud certifications. And at the end of 2016, I wanted to really move to a professional career as a Salesforce developer. I believed I had the capabilities and the knowledge at that time.
Beautiful. And that's, for me, the best way to learn. When you have a passion project and you start building it until you see a result. And it seems it wasn't a simple one.
You mean the GR Pack, the package developed at the time?
Yeah, the one you built.
It was quite complex. It was quite complex because, the problem is that the grammar cases for the Greek language are very complex. And also, all the logic I had to build, it was quite complex. It was many thousands of lines. Not huge, but still, it was for me quite challenging. And I managed before the summer 2016 to finish this package and, to see it actually working. And this was the first real project of mine, starting working with Salesforce.
Nice. And it still exists? It is still maintained or not anymore?
Yeah, it has moved to Apex Change practically. Now it's a free Apex Change package. I changed the name. I call it GR Tools. I enhanced it, gave more capabilities, did a series refactoring because after many years I had a lot of more experience. So many things I did that 2015 and 14 and 16, I had to modify a few things, but still it's an AppExchange, free AppExchange app at this moment.
Beautiful. For our Greek listeners out there, we will be sharing the link of this package pretty much on the show notes. This is great. So speaking of packages, let's talk about Forcia.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Tell me about Forcia, what it is and what type of problems can we solve with it?
Yeah, so we previously discussed about my desire to move to a professional role as a developer in 2016. Mm-hmm. So I was given this opportunity by Johnson & Johnson in Ireland. So in January 2017, I relocated with my wife to Ireland, to Limerick. Limerick is the third biggest city of Ireland, a beautiful city. And mm-hmm. at the EMEA Development Center of Johnson & Johnson, practically I was in the first team, the first three developers that started the Salesforce team, working with different projects, at EMEA, America, LATAM, and so on. And in February, after 1 month in Ireland, I was wondering if I could start another project of my own, but not so vertical as the previous. I would like something horizontal to give something to the community and also start working with more advanced APEX. So I saw that all the companies, or most of the companies, use specific logic when they create data factories with static methods, with some logic that it's difficult to expand, difficult to use. So I had the idea to start the data factory. But I wanted to do it, something different. So I invented a domain-specific programming language, which I call Nadella. And this language was used by Forcia. The package I started was a GitHub open source package, obviously, and used Nadella with Forcia to start giving capabilities to the average developer without having specific knowledge of how to create complex data, to give many capabilities for everyone to create exactly the data they want.
Interesting. And this domain-specific language, Nadella, is the compiler also in APEX, or how does it work?
Yeah, practically, we use it as practically it's a string that you pass in a specific method, the setDefinition method. You pass the field name and the string, which is something like random space type number from 1 to 100 scale 0. This is a very typical command that generates random numbers from 1 to 100 using 0 decimal places, practically creating random integers. It's a string that Nadella tries to practically has a parser and tries to understand what is the syntax, if there are any syntax errors. It's quite complex. And practically it creates, let's say, specific data that holds all the commands, all the parameters, all the, validation it does. And after the user has given all the definitions he wants or she wants, it creates data, starting parsing the data, creating data with a specific logic.
That's beautiful. And what type of use cases are the ones that are suitable for the data factory, for Forcia? What can it do?
Yeah. Before we proceed to what use cases we could recommend to our listeners, to every developer or user who wants to create data with Salesforce, mm-hmm. Let's say, what are the general capabilities of Forcia?
Okay, yeah.
Practically, it uses, as you said, the Nadella in order to generate data, but it can create static data. When we say static, we mean the same value for every field, for every record, or serial data, for example, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, this is something serial, repeating probably if you want, also random data, and also it can create other things like to copy from one field to the other or create mocked IDs and things like this. And also lookup data. This is very important because in Salesforce we use a lot of reference fields, so it creates also, has the capabilities also to create complex reference data. And practically, we have two big categories of use cases. The first one is for a developer who wants to create data for the unit tests. Okay, we create a class, a testing class in Salesforce. We have some test methods, and we want to create data. And this is the first use case because practically with Forcia, we create what is recommended, the best practice to create a new class. I call it Data Factory, but you know the name is irrelative. We can call it whatever we want. And in this class, we create templates. What's a template? Practically, it's a map. If you imagine a Salesforce map with a key and, yep, and a value, the key is whatever we want, for example, a name like accounts, opportunities, whatever we want. And the value is something very specific to Forcia. It's an F object. An F object is a Forcia object. Practically, whatever we need in order to create records for a specific object, for example, account, opportunity, or opportunity line items. So mm-hmm. when we create this template, we use an encapsulation logic. We create something simple, for example, for contacts, and then we create an account, and we relate. First we create the account, and then we relate the account with the contact, and then we create opportunities and relate accounts to opportunities. So every new template may encapsulate another template, and so on, which means that it has a reusability in mind. We can reuse templates, and this is very important. Encapsulate one into another. And practically, we can, with this logic, we can create very complex structures which create too complex data. But for a new developer, for someone who doesn't want to go to the details, you don't have to know the details. You just use the template, you create data very easily because Forcia doesn't insert the data. It does create the structure of data, and then you insert mm-hmm. it very easily. And the most important is that when you want, for example, to modify something, for example, let's say you want to modify a field, a specific field, or delete something, remove a definition, or add something new, or create data with a different way, then it's very, very easy to get a template, go exactly to the object you want, the field you want, modify whatever you want without knowing all the, you know, internal logic, the internal details and complexities in order to create all this probably huge structure of objects, because if, for example, I want to create opportunities, I have to create many other objects. It creates a very complex logic, but when you use templates, it's something very simple. You can very easily modify whatever data you want to modify, fields you want to modify. This is the basic structure and logic of Forcia. So the first use case is this, to create data for test methods.
And it supports, you mentioned standard objects, but it also supports custom objects as well.
Yes, custom objects, obviously all the standard objects, and also it supports big objects.
Oh, big objects as well, nice.
Yes, you can create data for big objects, and practically it's very, very fast. I remember one time when I was using a developer edition which has 1 million free records for a big object, but if you set it very fast, it allows you to create many more millions. So I started inserting the records. I found that I had created 50 million of records in a very just a few minutes. But then I had to delete them again in order to reset it and start again. It was very interesting.
This is powerful. And any other feature that Forcia supports?
Yeah, practically, let's discuss about the second category of use cases. It yes. is for the people who want to create real records in a sandbox. I wouldn't say in a production, but I would say, for example, in a developer sandbox, a Scratch org, or let's say UAT sandbox, because mm-hmm. the developers want to start working a user story, having data, specific data, correct data in their sandbox or Scratch org. Also, the users who try to pass, let's say, one or more user stories from UAT, they want an org with data. And sometimes full sandbox is not available in the company, or a full sandbox is not a good idea because It may have production data, which we sometimes don't want to reveal to every user. So when we create a script, a complex script using the existing data factory, it has capability to create data asynchronously. Practically, it uses batch apex, and it can create many, many millions of records very fast and very complex data to populate any org. Obviously, a Scratch org doesn't have many gigabytes, has some specific megabytes, so you can create some hundred or thousand of records, but you don't need so many records. But, you know, a password sandbox, for example, has much more capacity, so you can create more complex structures. For example, you may create some millions of records to see if a query is selectable. So if it is fast or it has issues, or if the reports have issues, if you have, let's say, 10 millions of records. So there are many, many use cases you want to create real data, real records for the developers or for the users, for an architect, for example, to test if everything is okay, and have a stress testing in the specific sandbox, having millions of records, having large data volumes, for example.
Nice. Beautiful. This is giving me ideas on projects that I have worked before, especially when I'm testing, as you mentioned, on a staging environment, on a sandbox. Sometimes I don't see certain errors or performance issues because I am not using the amount of data I'm expecting on a production environment. And if I have a similar amount of data, I will be able to capture those errors before it happens on production. So this is going to be very powerful for those use cases.
Yeah, and also Forcia gives the capability to delete records asynchronously. Because when we insert, let's say, 10 million records of different objects in a sandbox to see some reports, to do whatever tests we want, then sometimes we want to delete the data and insert them again with different values, for example, if something had changed. And Forcia can do the opposite. I mean, not only to insert data, but also can delete data synchronously, which means that it has it is quite versatile, quite flexible to provide the full width of services to the user to insert, delete, and also update data.
Nice. And Forcia, you mentioned before you wanted to get into more professional development. This is not specifically a passion project. Are you using these also in your company or in production environments?
Yeah, we were using Forcia Johnson & Johnson, and I know Forcia is used in many other big companies, but it's an open source project, so everyone can go to the GitHub site page have Forcia code and use it. But also there is a specific package, an analog package, which is very easy to install, either using a CLI or using some other ways. So it's a package, unlock package. You can see the code. You can, you know, modify if you like a few things, but still it's not a good idea to deviate from standard package, because the next version will have more capabilities. And if you do, you know, personal changes in specific org, this will be operated.
Nice. So it is open source. Yeah. This means me as a Salesforce developer, if I am using Forcia and I find maybe a way to improve it, or I find an issue, can I contribute to the project?
Sure. At the moment, I don't have any other developer to contribute to the project, even though I really would love to see other developers investing some time with Forcia. Forcia is a very mature product, but still, the good can be better and the better can be best. So I always believe there are ideas and many ways to improve something. So if someone really wants to invest some of his or her time on Forcia, I would really love to see other guys doing this. And Forcia, it's a lot of effort from my side. I had to spend more than 1,500 hours on Forcia, probably near 2,000. Yeah, 2 hours. It's a project with 30,000 lines of code. It's very complex, very, very demanding, has a lot of capabilities. We could discuss, one day about the capabilities of OSIA. It has a user guide, I call it success guide, with 170 pages with details about how you use it. It's quite complex. It's not, something that's something simple. But still, everyone can contribute to Forcia, and I love seeing people spending time and investing on it.
Just checking at the repo right now, the first commit was 6 years ago. So this is not a recent project. You have been really spending quite an amount of time on making this better and better.
Yeah, it was, I think it was on May 2017. I'm not sure about the month, but it was definitely before the summer. At that time, it was very simple. When I see the lines of it, it's really funny. It had a main idea, the main capabilities, generally speaking, but it has nothing to do with what Forcia can do today. It was quite simple at that time, just a few thousand lines of code. Now it's really huge.
And also, this tells a lot about an open source project. Last commit was just 4 months ago, so it's keeping up to date. It's being fixed. It's being improved. So for the folks out there that are listening, that are looking for a great solution for Data Factory, take a look at Forcia. Go ahead, and if you find any areas to improve, I'm pretty sure, as Nico said, they are like pretty happy to have you all, the Salesforce community, contributing to this project.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. So, Nikos, tell me, now changing a little bit of a subject, it seems you have been almost your whole life working in tech. Yeah. What else do you like? Tell me one hobby of yours. What do you do while you are not working on Salesforce or building these amazing open source tools?
Yeah, I love music, and especially I love jazz. So, for example, last year I bought an alto saxophone and started playing saxophone.
Wow!
I think I'm not so bad. Okay, it's not so easy to play saxophone, but still, I think I have improved myself during the last 12 months. I also have a guitar, practically two guitars, one of my wife's and one of mine. One acoustic and one classic. I have a piano. I love music in general, so music is the second big love of my life. I'm talking about Salesforce, the first one. The second is music, and especially jazz.
Nice. And your wife also plays? You mentioned that she has a guitar?
Yes, she was a student and she bought it, but she doesn't play really. So, yeah, I'm lucky I have this guitar. It's not a... very expensive, but still, it's very nice. It has a very sweet sound. So she likes hearing music. She likes watching me to play or hearing me to play, but she doesn't play.
Beautiful. Nikos, thank you very much for joining us on this Salesforce Developer Podcast. I loved learning about these great open source tools that all the Salesforce developer community are building. And I hope all the people that are listening start using Forcia for your data factory needs.
I thank you so much for the invitation and for the opportunity to discuss about my passion, about Salesforce, about Forcia, and about jazz.
And that's it. If you want to learn more about this show, head on to developer.salesforce.com/podcast, where you can hear all the episodes and read the show notes. Thank you, everybody, and talk to you the next time. Bye-bye.